2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
5 counties, 7 weeks of live broadcasts. Today, Dave and Debbie are live in Utah County. KSL's 100th anniversary tour with Damon Dujanovic on KSL News Radio.
You cannot come to Utah County and not talk about what is going on with Utah Lake. Have you ever taken a boat on Utah Lake, Dave?
Yeah, I went water skiing one time.
Yeah. There's a project going on right now underway to restore it. It is a $6.5 billion effort to redevelop it or to develop it.
Yeah, and I think the conversation, when you've ever been to Utah Lake, there's some parts that are really cool and nice, but there's a lot of trouble areas in Utah Lake, and there's some pretty gross areas in Utah Lake. Joining us right now, John Benson, who's the president and COO, Lake Restoration Solutions. And John, thanks for joining us, first of all. As we're discussing solutions and what should be done with Utah Lake, this is an intriguing one for me. It's an interesting idea about really having private developers, you know, in conjunction with government officials, but largely private developers sweeping in and trying to clean up Utah Lake, right? Can you give us a little bit of an idea, first of all, why is Utah Lake so gross, and what do you want to do about it?
How much time do we have?
You've got about 5 minutes.
So Utah Lake's been struggling for a long time, right? The Utah Lake we have today has many problems, many challenges that are a lot different from what we saw or what our pioneer ancestors saw 150, 170 years ago when they arrived. We've had the introduction of carp was one of the first major problems that was human-caused. Carp feed by uprooting aquatic vegetation, and so they damaged the lake. Then we had many decades of raw sewage flowing into the lake. Now still treated sewage goes into the lake. And we've had industrial pollutants and things over the years, and so many of those pollutants sit in the lake bed, and the lake bed is heavily impaired. The aquatic vegetation is basically gone from the lake. The mollusk populations that used to filter the lake have died off. So the Utah Lake we have is degraded. It's been human-caused problems, and we have seen some good efforts over the last few years or last few decades to do some work around the lake and tributaries and things to try to bring it back. But there has not been a comprehensive restoration of the lake bed or the lake itself. And so the Utah Lake Restoration Project is a comprehensive plan to fully restore the lake and its ecosystem.
What is your ultimate vision for Utah Lake?
The ultimate vision is to have cleaner and clearer water, to have Utah Lake be a wonderful recreational resource again, to remove the contaminants from the lake bed, to use the lake bed materials to form what people call islands. The official firm term for that is containment areas. That's what the Army Corps calls those. But to keep those materials within the lake, to have some of those turned into wildlife islands, some of them would be for just community recreation, and then to have what we call community islands where people could live as a way to pay for this project without any kind of tax increase.
I'm sorry, Dave.
So the idea would be you dredge some of the gross stuff on the bottom, you kind of pile it up, and then you are able to use some of that stuff to create these islands?
You are, yeah. That's the beneficial reuse of dredged material has been done for many, for over 100 years in this country. And so that's a proven way to use dredged material in a way that is not disposing of it or getting rid of it, but actually using it within the lake. In Utah Lake, that helps us to maintain water levels. And maybe the biggest benefit of all is we can reduce evaporation of the lake. You talked about reducing the evaporation through the sprinkling system here. Yeah. On this golf course, right, to save millions of gallons. We can reduce evaporation on Utah Lake to save tens of billions of gallons of water every year, which would be a massive benefit for the state.
John, can you get rid of carp?
There are many efforts to reduce the carp. They've had some success, actually, reducing the carp populations in Utah Lake. We need to get that down even further.
John Benson is the president and CEO of Lake Restoration Solutions, joining us live here in Spanish Fork as we take our show on the road to celebrate our 100th birthday at KSL News Radio. We're in Utah County today, and we felt like we could not be in Utah County without having a discussion about what's in store potentially for Utah Lake. Just wanted to go back to something you hit on earlier. How many homes, townhomes, condos do you see in your vision for Utah Lake?
The exact numbers haven't been determined yet. That'll be a process that's a master planning process that incorporates state and county leaders to determine what are the right numbers. As you talked on your last segment, there's a lot of growth in Utah County. That growth is inevitable. And so having some well-planned, smart communities that can house those people in environmentally sustainable ways, we think is a benefit. But that's not our goal for being here. We're not the developers. We have brought in some developers, and we'll bring in others to help build out those communities and do so in a good way.
Instead of turning over things to private developers or, creating islands, why couldn't we just address it? You know, obviously this would be the state of Utah making that kind of investment to really clean it up and change things over. Why would we need to bring in private developers to help solve this problem?
This is something that we proposed as a way to do this without any kind of tax increase. You know, a multi-billion-dollar project would be a significant burden on the taxpayers if that were borne by them. And so this is a solution that we brought. With or without development, we believe that island creation is a solution that's needed for Utah Lake to beneficially reuse those materials and to reduce the evaporation. To get those benefits, we think islands are necessary. But if we could do more recreation islands, more wildlife islands, and not have development, if there's another way to pay for it, that's something that we've consistently said we're open to.
Why would this reduce evaporation? That, I guess, isn't like water. Maybe it's just, if it's sitting out there, it'll just evaporate. How are your islands or development going to reduce that?
That's a great question. So evaporation is primarily a function of how much surface area is exposed to the elements. So the wind and the sun exposing 90,000 acres of lake today. And so by introducing islands, we reduce that surface area by about 20%. That reduces evaporation by about 20%. So the remaining water would have the same exposure as what it normally would, but by having a deeper lake, we have more water with less exposure to the sun.
In the next 30 seconds, we're going to talk to someone who is opposed to this plan. We'll bring in his own viewpoints about it. Have you met a lot of resistance?
There, I think there are a lot of questions. People care about this lake. They want to see a restoration. They want to see it done well. We're going through a very extensive review process with the Army Corps of Engineers and the EPA, the state of Utah. So there's many government agencies who are tasked with overseeing these natural resources and ensuring that any project done is done correctly. And so we're not concerned about opposition that is science-based. We say, hey, submit your concerns to the Army Corps. They'll look at those concerns. We want to ensure that we have the best outcome. And so that kind of constructive feedback, sometimes it feels a little bit messy, but that helps us get to a better outcome. So that's fine.
John Benson, thank you for joining us with Utah Lake Restoration Solutions.
Thank you so much.
Let's continue the conversation next in about 3 minutes with the other side of the issue.
Dave and Dujanovic.
Start your mornings productively with important updates on breaking news,
traffic, and reliable weather.
You'll get it all on KSL from 5 to 9 with Tim and Amanda.
Utah's morning companions for news.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was 3 blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.